This is KEQX 89.7, Stephenville, Hyco, and Comanche.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me this afternoon Brother David Harris. He's back from California visiting that new little grandbaby, and so he's happy as a lark.
Absolutely.
Friends, we do want to remind you this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's area code 254-445-2473. We also have access to the internet, and so you can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. If you were able to listen last week, we were talking about the Bible doctrine of the Godhead. And what David and I have been doing over the past, oh, I guess it's been 3 weeks now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we began by talking about how there is so much misunderstanding out there in the religious world today about the Holy Spirit, who He is and what He does and how He functions today. And so David and I are going through and we're discussing that. And we began by pointing out that the Holy Spirit is a person. There are some people in the religious world that want to say that the Holy Spirit is like a fluid that He can be poured out on people. And David, that's not what the Bible says.
No.
That's one of those misconceptions that's out there. And so we pointed out that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. He is the third member of the Godhead, and of course that leads us to what we talked about last week. Brother Terry Jackson filled in and did a good job, and Terry and I talked about the Holy Spirit as it relates, or as He relates to the Godhead. There are three persons that make up the divine nature of God, and that of course is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we talked about last week. And David, this week we're going to actually begin a new discussion in this particular series, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the biblical doctrine of the inspiration of the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, friends, if you have your New Testaments, open in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, David, as you read those verses of Scripture and make some comments about that, we want to let people know that as you study the Bible, you will, and maybe when you hear somebody preaching a sermon, they might say something like, the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul wrote this. Mm-hmm. And then of course they'll quote a scripture or read a verse of scripture. And what they are saying and what they are conveying is that the Holy Spirit used the doctrine of inspiration to inspire men to write the New Testament. And Paul has something to say about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so, David, why don't you talk to us about 2 Timothy chapter 3?
Okay, when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, it is an inspired letter. And every bit of this Word of God is through inspiration. And we'll get into just exactly what that is in just a moment. But he begins in chapter 1 by telling us that in the latter days, in the last days, in the time since Jesus Christ came, in the time that He will come back again, in those last days, men are going to be more evil as they go. In verse number 13, we begin reading the evil men and seducers. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Kerry, he's talking about, he's already identified these folks up here in verse 5. And he says, these evil men and seducers, in verse 5, he says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He goes on to tell us. He says, but you continue in the things which you have learned and you have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a baby, a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. Now, here is where we find the all-sufficiency of the Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Kerry, when he's talking about those evil men and seducers, and he says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, when we go into Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we find out what that power is.
Well, that's exactly right.
Paul says there, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So these individuals that he's talking about here, they appear godly outwardly, but inwardly they are denying the power of God. And so they are denying the Word of God. Now, when he says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that means that it is God-breathed. God is the author here.
Yes.
And then he has selected certain penmen to write just exactly what he wants in this Bible to be revealed unto us. And that's what makes this Bible inspired, the inspired Word of God. And we'll get into it just a little bit more as to what is inspiration.
Yes. And David, I find it interesting, and you read verse number 15, he's writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. David, there are people out there that will tell you, well, you can't understand the Bible.
Right.
And they can also, they will also say, well, you might be able to understand it, but you can't understand it alike. And here Paul writes to this young preacher and says, now, Timothy, you remember as a child, you knew the Holy Scriptures that were able to make you wise unto salvation. So this whole idea that Satan throws at us, that we can't understand the Bible, is absolutely ludicrous.
Right.
We can know the Scriptures, and we can know it even as a young person.
True. Absolutely true.
David, let's go in and talk about what it means when we're talking about the Bible doctrine of inspiration. Before we actually do that, David, let's talk about some people who we know did not write the Bible.
Right. And that's a good way to approach it, because there are a lot of people that claim that God didn't write it. Well,
yes.
If God didn't write it, somebody did.
That's right.
And so let's just approach it from a negative standpoint. Who did not write the Bible?
Well, you know, and David, it's a fact that the Bible exists.
Absolutely.
We have to explain, where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, first of all, the devil didn't write it, because
no.
The Bible condemns everything that he stands for and everything that he's about.
Correct.
So we can say at the very offset, friends, the devil didn't write the Bible.
You can mark that one off.
You scratch that one off. So that's one possibility. Well, the devil wrote the Bible. No, you can scratch that one off. Well, David, what about this? What about unfaithful men? Did they write the Bible?
They couldn't have. It would condemn everything that they did.
So we've got the devil scratched out. We've got unfaithful men scratched out. What about ungodly men? We're just talking about the old, plain old ungodly individual.
The kind that likes to go out on a Saturday night or respond to ads that would be lascivious in nature.
Yeah.
It would condemn everything that they did.
Okay. So we can scratch out ungodly men. Well, David, what about false teachers? Did these men that hold to false ideas, did they write the Bible?
Well, if they wrote the Bible, it would condemn every false doctrine that they ever held to.
So a man is not going to write a book that turns around and condemns what he
Absolutely
what he
not.
Stands for.
No, you write something that you believe,
okay.
that you want to uphold.
Well, David, what about good men who live good moral lives, and yet they were not inspired by God? Could they have written a Bible?
No, good men have good ideas that sometimes are contrary to what God wants us to do. And so these, even though we may have some good ideas, the condemnation of some good ideas as we think they are will be given to us through the Word of God. And so just good old boys and good men with good ideas and good thoughts could not have written the Bible.
Well, David, not only that, you think about it. What about somebody who says, well, God was speaking to me? If God was really not speaking to them, that would not make them a good man. That would make them a liar, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd certainly make them a false teacher, wouldn't
it? Yeah. And then you turn around to Revelation 21, and the Bible says that all liars are going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
here's a good man who is uninspired and unaided by God, who says lying is wrong, and yet he lies throughout the book. So that doesn't work, does it?
No, it cannot work. Absolutely
cannot. It absolutely cannot work. Folks, as a matter of fact, the Bible is so far superior to human thinking, there's no way that humans could produce what we know as the Bible.
Exactly.
And David, in Isaiah chapter 55, and you may want to turn there. If y'all've got your Bible, just turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. And Isaiah tells us something about God's thoughts that I think we need to really consider. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse number 8, here's what the Bible says. God is speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." David, very clearly, Isaiah gives us a self-evident truth, we could say.
Sure.
God is smarter than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much we think we've attained, there are things in the Bible, David, that there is no way that a human being could have come up with.
Well, right. And even as Isaiah, even as we read in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is portraying the inspiration. He is writing through inspiration here. And you notice he is speaking on behalf of God. He says, "My thoughts." It's not Isaiah's thoughts. These are God's thoughts. "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So man, we don't even begin to comprehend what God has in store for us out there in the future. As far as looking from Isaiah's viewpoint, because men could not know the medical researches and the things, the discoveries that would be made. And by the way, they will all uphold what the Bible has to say even before Isaiah began to write the thing 740 years before Christ was ever born.
Well, you know, David, as we think about this, the fact of the matter is that the devil could not have written the Bible. Unfaithful men could not have written the Bible. Ungodly men could not have written the Bible. False teachers could not have written the Bible. And unaided men. You know, you read the works, the great works of some of the classic writers like Shakespeare, mm-hmm, and some of these other, mm-hmm, guys. Some people have claimed that the Bible's inspired kind of like that. You know, "Well, I went out this morning and I saw a beautiful sunrise."
Right.
"And it inspired me to write this poem." David, that's not what we find in the Bible.
That is not the inspiration that we're speaking of here. As we look at this Bible, what is so fascinating about it is that 32 men,
yes,
wrote the Old Testament.
Yes.
8 men wrote the New Testament, or they penned it. Let me rephrase that. They penned it. God is the author of all of it.
That's right.
He inspires these men, and there is not a contradiction in here. And there are a lot of people that say, "Oh, the Bible's full of contradictions." It is not full of contradiction. If you think it's full of contradiction, then you need to go back and reread, back up, and look at the context over what you're reading and make sure that you understand fully well what he's talking about there before you accuse God of being contradictory in his statements, because he's not.
Well, and David, a lot of times what you see, these things that people call a contradiction are not a contradiction. They talked like we talked.
Right.
You know, when you read about Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that as he was traveling on that road to Damascus, there was a group of men with him. And it says, of course, we know the story, how that Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus. And it says that the men heard this voice,
mm-hmm,
but they didn't understand it. And then you get over to Acts chapter 22, and it says they didn't hear, mm-hmm, a voice. And so some say, aha, we've got a contradiction. Over here it says they heard. Over here it says they didn't hear. But friends, how many times have you been in another room and your wife said something and you heard a noise, but you didn't hear what, well, you heard a voice.
Yeah.
Let me back off. It wasn't a noise. You heard something. And so you stick your head out and you say, hun, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
I didn't understand.
That's exactly what it is. Friends, if y'all want to join us on this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, David, you gave us a good idea about the Bible doctrine of inspiration by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and the word there that is translated, given by the inspiration of God, actually means literally God breathed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And friends, we know that the Bible is written in a way that we can understand it, but the picture that Paul is giving to us, when someone speaks, they draw in their breath, and then they use their breath to go across their vocal cords and produce sounds, and of course we now know those sounds as words and, mm-hmm. and thoughts and so forth. And so God is telling us that His breath was used to help these men write the Bible.
Right.
These words are God's words.
Right. And getting right back to just a moment ago, I mentioned that there are 32 men that wrote the 39 books of the Old Testament. It would be a miracle itself that 32 men did not contradict one another. You can't put 32 men in a room where they will not contradict one another. And yet, this over 1,500 years,
exactly right.
32 different men are writing, they don't contradict one another, and the only way that that can be a possibility is through the miracle of the inspiration of the words. God has got to be the author. And these men are the penmen.
That's exactly right. And David, I find it interesting that some of these men never met.
Mm-hmm.
That some of these men even spoke different languages.
Absolutely.
And yet they write a book, then when it's brought together, it is completely without contradiction and with beautiful harmony.
Absolutely.
The only way that can be, friends, is that God wrote it.
He's got to be the author.
Yes.
And you know, there's one more thing, and this just keeps coming up to me. And you mentioned it just a moment ago. If the devil didn't write it, if ungodly men, if unfaithful men, if just good men didn't write it, then who did? Well, it's got to be God. And if God did not write this book, then this has been the greatest hoax ever pulled over the eyes of mankind from the time and the beginning of time. There is no greater hoax that has ever happened than this if God did not write this book.
That's right. Well, David, what about this idea that people are saying that God talks to them today? You were showing me something in the paper, and you may want to just talk about that for a moment.
Well, this happened, and by the way, there are a lot of people out there in the world that have this idea that God speaks to them directly.
Yeah.
And we know that that cannot be, because in Jude verses 3 and 4, we are told that He has given us once for all time, He has revealed to us the Word of God. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And so God gave what He wanted written. The author is God Himself. The penmen, they are the selected men to write this thing. And so it is now accumulated. We now have His revealed will. And as you mentioned just a moment ago, now we have people all over the country saying, well, you know, God spoke to me. Well, God spoke to me, and He told me to do this, and some of this stuff gets pretty ludicrous. And as a matter of fact, in the May 28th edition of the Empire Tribune, we have an edition here, and the headlines of the paper says, "Can you hear me now?" And what happened was this man crawled up a 300-foot tower, happened right here in Stephenville, Texas, and he got up and he couldn't get out. And so he started hollering for help. And the paper says, quote, when asked about his overhead adventure, Bryant said that the man identified him as so-and-so. He claimed God had told him to climb the cell phone tower. And Jokel also allegedly said that it wasn't the first time that he had been called upon by the Lord. Later on in this paper here, it says that he was there were traces of methamphetamines in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the big question is, who really was talking to this fellow and make him climb up that 300-foot telephone pole or cell phone tower? Obviously, it is ludicrous to blame God for telling somebody to do something as unthoughtful as that, and blame it on God.
Yeah,
God told me to do this.
But David, how many times have we heard people say, "Well, you know, God directed me to buy a particular automobile,"
mm-hmm.
or God told me to do this, and then David, lo and behold, it's not long before that automobile, somebody, a member of their family, is killed in a car accident. And so we're saying, well, God told me to buy this car, this new car, and yet that new car brought death and devastation to my family. Was that God talking to them?
Well, it's you just get more and more ludicrous as you go, and as outrageous as this man is that crawled up this cell phone tower and blamed it on God. It's not that far removed from what you hear from a lot of denominational preachers today that will tell their denominational followers, look, God spoke to me, and here's what he told me to tell you.
Yeah.
And then he's making that entire congregation dependent upon him to tell them and reveal unto them what God has said. When God has told us very frankly here that he has spoken and his word is revealed, it is written and preserved for us in the Bible. Now, friends, we're up against a break. We've laid the background foundation here for God has spoken, and we're looking at biblical inspiration. And we want you to get in on this. The number is 254-445-2473. And they've shown me more pictures of horses, and I have figured it out now. That means it's time for a break. And so we'll come back on the other side of the break and listen for your calls.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is PO Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. Our motto here today is, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. And we're speaking about Holy Spirit's biblical inspiration of the Bible here. We have determined in our first segment that the devil didn't write it, unfaithful men didn't write it, ungodly men didn't write it, false teachers didn't write it, and good men, just plain old good men, they didn't write it either. The Bible is the work of the Holy Spirit. He has inspired it. He inspired 40 men to write it, 32 from the Old Testament, 8 from the New Testament, and there's no contradictions in there. And it is a book that will guide our lives. All we've got to do is study the thing. And so we are looking here at the inspiration of the Bible, and we want to know, and Carrie, you mentioned just a moment ago, a different kind of inspiration, a type that people come up with, and we want to ask the question, what kind of inspiration was it? Now, when we left just a moment ago, we talked about this man that had crawled up this 300-foot tower and said, God made me do it. God told me to do it. Then he couldn't get out. I guess he's blaming God for him getting stuck up there now.
Right.
But we've heard people say, well, you know, God spoke to me and he told me to buy this piece of property and told me to build all these things on here, and then they go broke, and I guess that's God's fault that they go broke. So we look at denominational preachers that get this revelation. They call it inspiration of God, that they tell their followers certain things, and they make them very dependent upon this preacher telling them what God told them, because he's not talking to anybody else in the congregation except the man. So we have people being made dependent upon this particular guy calls himself a preacher, and is strictly out of ignorance, and I don't use that in an ugly way, but it is ignorance of the Scripture, because the Scripture doesn't teach that God speaks to people that way.
Well, and David, you're exactly right, and you know, back to this idea, well, who wrote the Bible? If these men claim that they were writing for God and they were not, that'd make them just a bunch of liars. That's what they would be.
Sure.
So David, what about this? Did God just give somebody a thought and then let them write it however they want? In other words, you know, just throw a thought into their mind and then they write it out any way that they want. Is that what the Bible doctrine of inspiration is?
Absolutely not. It's not. And a lot of people believe that. A bunch of geniuses just got a hold of this thing, and because of their genius, they wrote it, and they didn't contradict one another. But if that happened, it would only be a humanly produced book, if that's what happened.
Yes.
And we know that didn't happen because God inspired it. We are told that God inspired it, and if we don't believe that, we've got a big problem, because we are told by God himself that he inspired this book. We got a terribly big problem.
Well, David, if that's not the kind of inspiration, is it? What is the inspiration that we're talking about? How would we describe the Bible doctrine of inspiration?
Well, we would use it as verbal inspiration.
Okay.
Every word is a God-breathed word. He is the author of all of the words, and these penmen are not taking it upon themselves to write any more or any less than God has given them to write.
Well, folks, if you have your Bible, let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and David, I think you've got one from 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Friends, read with me beginning in verse number 11. By the way, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" David, very clearly what Paul is saying is, you don't know what I'm thinking, and I don't know what you're thinking unless I reveal it to you.
Right.
You don't know what's in my spirit. Now listen to this. Verse number 11. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." So the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. Listen to verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak." Now watch this, folks. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. "Which things we speak," he said, "not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words." And so, David, what Paul is saying there is, God's Spirit revealed his mind to the apostles in words, and then they wrote it down. Is that not what he's saying?
Exactly. Exactly. That is exactly what he is saying.
Okay.
And you know, even before in the Old Testament, a lot of people get confused about New Testament, Old Testament, but even before in the Old Testament, as was recorded by Paul, the inspired penman here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he said all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, that would especially point back here to the Old Testament scriptures. And
yes,
David in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue." God's word was in my tongue.
Okay.
Now, when David says this, this is what we have as true verbal inspiration. This is every single word is inspired of God. David didn't come out and make things up and decide that he's going to make it more colorful one way or the other. This is verbal inspiration that we have here given to us in the book.
And David, notice that he didn't say his thought was in my tongue.
He
said his word was in my tongue.
Right. And this is something that a lot of people want to get a hold of. They say, well, now God just put the thought in their head and then let them use their own words. But that is not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is God put his word in my tongue. And so when he's speaking God's word.
That's exactly right. So we see that what we're talking about when we talk about the Bible doctrine of inspiration, we're talking about the very words being inspired of God. David, let's talk about the Holy Spirit and how he worked in inspiring men in the Old Testament to write the book. And by the way, friends, again, if you want to join us in this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. David, we noticed this earlier in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 21. The Bible says, and this is Peter writing this, said that those men of the Old Testament, watch this, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, David, Moses is the one who penned the book of Exodus, and the book of Exodus is 40 chapters long, and David, 161 times, Moses attributes what he wrote to what God said.
Now, it's interesting that you point this out, because a lot of people, they would say, well, you know, I just feel this in my heart. We're not talking about feeling anything in our heart here. We're giving biblical facts, and we're going to stick with the motto. You've heard what men have had to say. Yes. We're going to show you what the Bible has to say. Now, when Moses can quote the Holy Spirit 160 times, he attributes what he wrote to God 161 times in 40 chapters. How much is that per chapter there? About four times a chapter, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So four times in every chapter of the book of Exodus, Moses attributes the words to God. But, you know, what we're giving here are factual statements. Anybody can look them up.
Yes.
But what we're building here is a rock solid foundation so that we can understand that the Bible is authored by God himself.
Well, David, not only that, you look at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, of course, wrote two books in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentation,
mm-hmm.
and those two books combined have 57 chapters, and David almost 500 times Jeremiah refers to the fact that he is writing the message of God. That's at least nine times per chapter that he says, I'm writing the message of God.
More concrete evidence.
More concrete evidence.
That the word that we have here recorded in our Bible is the authored by God.
Exactly right. Ezekiel wrote his book, and it has 48 chapters, and 309 times, David, he attributes his message to God. That's at least six times per chapter. Ezekiel says, I'm giving you the message of God.
Right. The words of God.
The words of God. Zechariah wrote a book, and it's 14 chapters long. And 84 times he said the message was the Lord's. Again, that's six times per chapter. David, we could go on. Haggai
mm-hmm.
wrote two short chapters, and yet 25 times he attributes his message or his words to God. That's 12 times per chapter.
Right. And every one of these things referred to what the Holy Spirit was doing for these men for God. And as they were being moved along in their writings, and they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, the moving of the Holy Spirit is not the same that men claim today. They are actually being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things. Now, David is representative of all of the Old Testament writers, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. So, if the Spirit spoke by him and the word is in his tongue, every time we read the Psalms that he wrote, the Psalm 15, Psalm 19, Psalm 23, where he says, the Lord is my shepherd. These are not his words. These
That's
are God's
right.
word.
That's right.
Chapter, the 32nd Psalm, the 51st Psalm, the 139th Psalm, where he says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Those aren't David's words. Those are God's words.
That's right.
And we're reading the words that the Spirit supplied to David. And the New Testament fully supports everything that David said in the Old Testament.
That's exactly right. David, I love the way Jeremiah writes it. He says in verse number 4 of chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. And he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, this is Jeremiah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee shalt thou speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, David, that's the Bible doctrine of inspiration.
Absolutely. And for people to come along today and say, here's what God told me to tell you, they ought to be able to do every single thing that the apostles did,
right.
shouldn't they?
Yeah. You know, David, I've studied with some Pentecostal preachers before, and one of them claimed to be an apostle. And, you know, he said, I can do everything the apostles did.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Brad.
I'm glad you started mentioning that because, you know, we, this preacher voices of ours about to put one of the people in here in the studio asleep. And so I'm glad you mentioned that. And it wasn't Chris, by the way. Chris is running the board here. So.
But old Brad said that he could do what the apostles did. And so I said, well, Brad, just quote for me Titus chapter 3 and verse number 10. Well, he said, well, I can't do that. I'd have to look it up. And I said, Brad, if you had what the apostles had, you could do what the apostles did.
That's right.
And I said, since you can't do what the apostles did, you didn't have what they had. Made him mad as an old wet hen. But that's exactly right.
Sure it is. Absolutely it is. And you know, they want to take bits and pieces out of this and muddle up the water and confuse people with what the Bible is not saying instead of trying to open up the revelation as it is revealed here and show people what it is saying. The Bible is the work of God, and the New Testament will confirm everything that's written there in the Old Testament.
Well, David, you're exactly right. And once we understand, friends, that the Bible is inspired of God, then we can accept without question that the creation of Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And we can believe with all sincerity that Adam and Eve, when what they did in Genesis chapter 3, is exactly what God said.
Right.
And we could go on, the flood during the days of Noah, the crossing of the Red Sea, God supplying manna for the children of Israel for 40 years. David, here's one that's caused a lot of people a lot of consternation. Jonah being swallowed by a great fish.
Right. And yet the people that deny that are denying Jesus Christ himself because he affirmed it in Matthew chapter 12.
That's exactly right. Friends, we're up against another break, we want to encourage you to join us on this discussion. We need to get some calls generated here, so somebody will wake up over there. But we need to get some phone calls going. We need to get some phone calls. So the number to call is 254-445-2473 or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhide Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness.
and the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and have with me Brother David Harrison. It's certainly great that you've tuned in. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're looking at the Bible doctrine of inspiration. And I know that we put a couple to sleep already in the studio. And so if you're sleeping by the radio, wake up. It's time to listen to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. The number to call is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we've already talked about the Bible doctrine of inspiration as it applied to the Old Testament. We read from Jeremiah chapter 1, where Jeremiah said, God touched his mouth and put his words in the mouth of Jeremiah. So, friends, the Old Testament and the New Testament are so interrelated that they either stand together or they both fall together. If one is inspired, so is the other. And if one is not inspired, the other is not. Friends, when you look at the book of Malachi, and you read, which is, by the way, the last book in the Old Testament, the final word in the Old Testament section of the prophets, the last word is curse. Is that the way we think that the scriptures would end? Friends, very clearly there was something that was going to follow. And so that which was to follow is what we now refer to as the New Testament of God. And friends, if we didn't have the New Testament, there would be no substance toward the Old Testament at all. But friends, the Old Testament points to the New Testament.
Absolutely. Now, we've got a an email from a listener here, it is sent from Deborah, and here's what it says. We need to study the Bible book, chapter, and verse, and don't depend or listen to man's version. I've been referred to as legalistic. Well, should I be illegal? There is legal and illegal, right and wrong, good and bad, and all areas of life. What side do people want to be on? I would hope on God's side, which is legal, right, and good. That's what I have trouble understanding, why people that follow the rules, if it's the law, their job, their family, their school, and many other areas. But when it comes to the Bible, they want cafeteria-style religion, which means picking and choosing what they want, and that's sent from Deborah. And Deborah, we want to thank you for that email, and you're absolutely right. And by the way, when we're talking about legal and illegal, it's hard not to even think about what's going on in politics right now. We have got a law that says that we've got to enforce the borders. And we've got people in here that are illegal, and we are saying that it's okay to be illegal. It's not okay to be illegal. We are to be legal.
That's right.
If a person calls me legalistic, Kerry, I kind of take it as a compliment myself. I'm certainly not illegal when it comes to looking at the Bible. I am, I've got to have a standard, and the only way that 32 men could have written the Old Testament without a contradiction is that God was the standard.
That's exactly right.
He's the standard for the 32 men that wrote the book of the Old Testament, all the books of the Old Testament, he's got to be my standard as he was for the 8 men that wrote the New Testament.
That's right. And you know, this idea of legalism and Deborah, and you know this, that's just a ploy by those who don't want to abide by the Word of God. And I guess we'll just put it as bluntly as we can. But they don't want to abide by the Scriptures. They don't want to do what the Bible says. They want to do their own thing. And so they do it under the guise of saying, well, you're just being legalistic. You know, David, if I follow the laws of the land,
mm-hmm.
and I pay my taxes on time, pay the taxes on the land and all those things, and encourage other people to do that. I'm called a good citizen.
Right.
I just want to be a good citizen in the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
I think we have a caller. Caller, if you don't mind, just give us your first name and your question or comment.
Well, this is Jason again.
Hey, Jason.
Another verse to consider in all of this is also found in 2 Peter chapter 1, and that's verse 3. That is, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, y'all have previously made the point, and very valid point, that you cannot know God, you cannot know Jesus Christ outside the Bible.
That's right.
That's the only way to know him. And Peter tells us in this verse that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, when I was a kid in school, that word all meant everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't, it's an inclusive word. Everything is included in that. You want to know how to live your life, it's in this book.
That's right.
You want to know what car to buy, actually, it's in this book, because you don't want to get yourself in debt in something that you can't pay for.
That's right.
The Bible teaches you to live within your means and so forth. He has given us all. We don't need some man coming along and telling us, you know, well, God told me this, because God's given it to us already.
Well, if somebody did come along and say, God told me this, he would be going beyond what God has revealed for us.
Exactly.
Because, like you say, all means all. And again, in Jude verse 3 and 4, when he talks about this faith being once for all time delivered, then anything that you had revealed to you would be in addition to what we have in our hands, and that would be more than God has given us. And therefore, it cannot be the words of God.
Very, very, very good point.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jason. We really, really appreciate your call.
Thank you.
You know, David, as we're talking about this and what Jason brought up kind of reminded me of something you and I had talked about earlier. When it comes to the Bible doctrine of inspiration, we talked about a moment ago about these guys claiming, well, God spoke to me and God told me this and God told me that. You know, I find it amazing that they claim that the message that they got came from God, and yet they have to study and prepare their lesson.
Right.
You know, Jesus told the apostles, listen to this, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up," now remember, Jesus is talking to the apostles, verse 19, "when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you." Now, David, that's what we're talking about, the Bible doctrine mm-hmm. of inspiration.
Right.
You don't have to prepare. That's what he told the apostles. You're going to be brought before kings. You know, if I were brought before the President of the United States right now, if I stood before President Obama and I was going to give a message, I would have to study, and I would have to find out what the Bible says. I'd have to be prepared for that.
Right.
The apostles wouldn't have had to done that.
Absolutely. You threw me when you got up there in front of President Obama. I wasn't expecting you to do that. I lost my train of thought there for just a moment.
It was a train wreck.
When we get here to Bible inspiration, we're talking about the inspiration of these apostles now. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus makes a promise. And this is the biblical inspiration again. He says, "But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, the reason that this had to be that way is because these 12 men weren't running together.
That's right.
They were going in 12 different directions.
That's right.
And they were preaching the gospel message in 12 different times and different places and different locations, and they were all preaching the same thing.
That's
and
right.
And the only reason that that could happen is because they were all guided by the same Holy Spirit. It was a miraculous, divine gift and a promise that was given to them by God.
Well, you know, David, when you look at what Jesus said to the apostles in John chapter 16,
mm-hmm.
He promises that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them. And actually, he promises that they are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that's a promise,
which
by the way.
Which is a promise, not a command.
Not a command. You obey a command, you receive a promise.
Right.
So these people that claim that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit today, it's not a command of God. But anyway, he says in John 16, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and listen to what it says in verse number 8. And this ties into what you said a moment ago about the Holy Spirit is going to bring to their remembrance whatever Jesus spoke, and that not only that, he's going to teach them everything, but listen to what else it says about the Holy Spirit. When he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin,
mm-hmm.
and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, Jesus said, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. David, did you hear what he said? The purpose the Holy Spirit came, the reason he came, was to guide the apostles into all the truth,
mm-hmm.
remind them of everything that Jesus taught, and convict the world of sin.
Right. And
most people don't get it.
No, they don't. And this is the reason that you have people coming up with this ludicrous idea that God is speaking to them individually, directly, and telling them to do things like crawl up a cell phone pole. You just
or send me a bunch of money.
Yeah, or send me a lot of money. That's what God told me to tell you. What we're doing and what we've always wanted to do is just expose the listeners to what the Bible has to say.
Yeah.
And we've read a lot of scripture today. Even when we resort to reading lots of scriptures and don't tell a whole lot of stories, it should be even more beneficial to the hearers to see what it is that the Word of God has to say rather than what man has to say. And that's all in the world we're wanting to do here. We're seeing that the New Testament is inspired of God just as well as the Old Testament is inspired. If one is inspired, the other one has got to be. Because all of the prophecies that were given back over there in the Old Testament, they come and are fulfilled over here in the New Testament. And because of that, it's got to be the same inspiration going backwards and forwards, either way you want to go, Kerry.
Well, David, you're exactly right. And when you think about this, the Bible doctrine of inspiration that we've already discussed, we're talking about God inspiring the very words, not some kind of generic thought that somebody had, but God inspired the very words of the Bible. And I want to turn to Galatians chapter 3, and here's a verse, friends, that I think is absolutely phenomenal. And not only that, it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt what David and I are talking about. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Bible is talking about God giving the New Testament, and it said, or I'm sorry, verse number 16, Galatians 3 and verse 16. Now listen to this, David. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now listen to what David said, or what Paul wrote. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Paul is arguing from an Old Testament scripture, and he's arguing over the fact that that word in the original Hebrew was singular and not plural.
Mm-hmm.
Now, friends, that's the Bible doctrine of inspiration.
Right.
Down to the very word, whether that word is singular or plural. Don't tell me that God just gave them a thought,
right,
and let them word it any way that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Or that God placed this, this idea in their mind and they could do it anyway. Though he says they were so inspired of God that this word is singular. and not plural. Now, that's the Bible doctrine of inspiration, friends.
Folks, we hope we have given you evidence.
Yes.
And that's what we're here to do. Evidence, scriptural evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible is all sufficient. You don't need anything else. Anybody, anytime anybody tells you, you've got to have a catechism or you've got to have a book written by so-and-so or listen to this fella or that fella over there, you can just tell them no. You don't have to, because the Bible is all sufficient, and we hope we have begun to show the inspiration of this Bible as it is given to us by God. The Word can be a guarantee from God that things are going to be just the way that he said they were going to be. And with this, we're going to run out of time, and I want to turn it over to Carrie for the last word, and I want to end with this one saying, God bless America.
Well, and David, I appreciate that, and I echo those words. May God bless America, and may God bless you as you study His divine word.